I wonder if Nashville would be high on Kyle's list of.
Well, I mean, road he's buddies with Max from the Arkells, so I don't know. Maybe they travel in different circles.
Well, yeah. I mean, I'm sure in Hamilton, he loves partying in Hamilton. But let's bring on the GM of the Maple Leafs right now. Here is Kyle Dubas. Kyle, do you have a favorite city to visit on the NHL circuit?
My favorite city. Denver is up there for sure. Vancouver. I'm not a big Florida or California guy. I think Denver and Vancouver would probably be my two favorites. I'm not a very exciting.
The mountains or what? Like Denver? I've never heard someone say Denver.
Everyone like hiking it, or what?
Yeah, I like the city. I just like the city and the climate and the surroundings. I think it's. I enjoy it. So
I'm not a
very exciting person, guys. I don't know what to tell you.
I know something about the Denver airport. I'm not sure if you've heard that. If there's rumblings of the Illuminati. Have you ever heard that? That situation. Like there's all sorts of symbols along there. When I played there I played a couple months there in Denver 100 years ago in the minors. But apparently there's some sort of like I don't know conspiracy theories about that airport and why it was built all the way out there. And there's tunnels and stuff like that. Have you ever heard anything like that?
I'm not at liberty to say, Jamie.
Wow.
Cannot confirm or deny.
I've never heard that, though.
Okay. Yeah, I haven't heard that either. What are you watching on YouTube, Newman?
No, I'm telling you. I'm telling you. I've heard that, yeah.
That is a rabbit hole. Well, we want to thank you. You've offered us up some content here. You got a signing this morning. And Alexander Baranov from the KHL, who's a guy that it's our understanding you've been pursuing or talking to for a while, and other teams were in pursuit of his services. You locked him in today officially, and take us through why this player was on your radar and why you're so happy to have him locked down.
Yeah, he's someone that one of the key members of our staff, Jim Pagliafito, he runs sort of the entire department when it comes to free agents and other teams' prospects, and a large part of his time is spent on European free agents. And so we've been talking about Alex and watching him and kind of breaking down his game for a couple of years. And I think we think he would fit with what we want to do, not only with his talent level, his ability to make plays, but he's also he's not tall, but he's very strong and competitive and. He's been a part of teams, St. Petersburg, that have won 2 championships and an Olympic gold medal and multiple world championships for Russia. So he's shown that, you know, he doesn't just have to produce. He certainly can and produce at a high level, but he's also able to chip in a number of different ways. And so it's been a process over the last couple of seasons just in getting to know him. Jim has really driven that process for us in terms of building a trust and building a relationship with Alex and his wife. And so when it came down to the actual decision, Jim Palafito's work was massive and us being the place that he elected to sign and begin his North American career.
Did you have to adjust any part of your scouting staff to go out and find the diamonds in the rough ever since your structure right now was the big guys are, you know, up heavily paid, making tons of money, and you got to find those guys for the next 3 or 4 years to fill in roster spots. Did you have to make any adjustments to find guys to go out there and scout rinks and scout places to find these people?
It's a yes and no, Jeff. Yes, we certainly have put a greater emphasis on the fact that because of the way that we've built our team, and if we want to really have the success that we desire, which is to be a contending team year in and year out. It's once we made the commitment to our forwards at the top of our lineup in terms of attributing a lot of our salary cap space there, it put the pressure right onto me and onto our player personnel department to find players that could come in from, you know, largely from Europe or from other organizations that maybe they haven't gotten a chance in another organization or they're ready to move over from Europe. So your Mikheyevs and players like that can come in and get rolling and play right away and help our team right away while on an entry-level contract. So we really have put a lot of focus on that, and we knew we were going to have to do that when we made the commitment to the big forwards. And in addition to that, it's also putting a lot of pressure on our development staff, which I think can handle it just in terms of taking our drafted players and developing them as efficiently as possible, so they can convert from being prospects and minor pro players to NHL players. But when it comes to the attribution of our scouting resources, Jim Palafito has been out at this now for 5 years in this role. This is the end of his fifth season with the Leafs, and he does a really good job not only identifying, you know, the players that we want to go after, but doing so a number of years out so that we can begin building a relationship and a trust with them. So we have put a greater focus on it, but we haven't really increased the number of people who are out watching, just because we've got a lot of faith in the way that Jim operates.
Not Eddie Olchuk. You didn't rely on him for any of that information.
We need Eddie Olchuk.
That was one of the
Eddie
great Olchuk moments of the year.
Eddie Olchuk.
And I was so confident that the Seattle just brought in Eddie O. Yeah. What a move.
Gets him out of the booth, right into the front office. What a move. With Kyle Dubas, the GM of the Maple Leafs. And It's difficult to have these conversations about the season, because the season is incomplete at this point, and to assess what you've seen and what you've learned. But I think there's enough sample size. I mean, you guys played 70 games. When it comes to your cap structure, you know, once you locked in the big four up front and committed to that money, we were wondering how this experiment was going to play out. And again, without knowing about the playoffs and the playoff success that potentially could have been there, which may affect the way every, you know, the general public feels about things, what have you learned about your cap structure, specifically when it comes to committing as much as you did to those four guys up front? And are you still as bullish on that idea today as you would have been on September 15th?
I think injuries notwithstanding, I think those guys all had, they all produced at a very high level. I think, in particular, I think throughout the year, William and Austin have been healthy. I mean, William missed two games with the flu in early February, but you know, the two guys that have been healthy, I think, made major steps. And you know, John and Mitch both produced at a high level. They both unfortunately also missed time due to injury, and both kind of freak injuries. Mitch steps on a guy's stick and against Philadelphia in November, and John, you know, a slap shot to the hand in Washington in October. So, you know, those types of things are going to happen in a season, but I think, you know, all of them have produced at a high level. I think that I've got a lot of belief in all four of those players. And I think it's the same principle, I think, Brian, that we had at the beginning of the year, which is it's on me to deliver with the rest and to find a way to build the remainder of the roster that can have our group move ahead. And I know that looking at the inconsistency, to put it probably favorably, that we went through during the year, it's tough to, I could understand why people would have their doubts, but I thought we showed a lot of very good things, especially like the way that we had a number of nights where you know, we frankly embarrassed ourselves. And the one thing I did like, I hated that we were in that position. I think our coaches and players would reiterate that and agree. But the thing that I liked is that every time we were in a spot like that, we didn't, even with the noise kind of growing and the doubts increasing about it, we would always find a way to push back. The last game that we played is a good example of that. And if you go back the weeks before, whether it was in Tampa or coming back home against Pittsburgh, anytime we were in a spot with our back against the wall, especially against a high quality opponent, we would find a way to battle back and play some of our best hockey. And I mean, we're realistic and know that we need to do that far more often. My thinking before the season pause was that, you know, this having to go through these ups and downs were going to serve us very well in the future. And I still fully believe that. And I think the pause in the season will give us a chance to reflect and continue to stay at work and building and developing where we want to go with our program.
With Kyle Dubas, we had Sheldon Keefe on the lunch earlier and was talking about what he's doing daily and how he's trying to stay productive and watching tape and keeping in contact with his staff, and I'm sure with yourself in the front office, and to an extent with the players. Like he said, we're keeping in contact with the players, but we don't want to overwhelm the players. They deserve their space. Asked him, you know, is this a time where, besides putting an emphasis on physically staying in shape, which clearly would be of importance for pro athletes, is it an opportunity for your players to grow in terms of scouting around the league, in terms of building upon the system that Sheldon is trying to implement, where he didn't have that chance to have a training camp because he wasn't here in training camp? What are your expectations when it comes to your players? If you're back in camp, a mini camp, or on the ice in 3 months, would you hope they've been watching tape? Would you expect they've watched tape? Can they expect to show up on day one and know, okay, Sheldon wants us to do this differently or that differently? What are the expectations that have been placed on the players from that capacity?
Yeah, I don't want to get into the too much of the finer details, because I think it's a private thing for our team and the way that we're operating at this time. But I do think that Sheldon and his staff, in concert with the player development staff here, have done a great job of engaging the players in a partnership type format through this time, with regards to where they think their game is at, where we think it's at, and how we're going to build them onto the next step. And so I think that the way that Sheldon and the staff have done that has certainly been interesting for me to watch, because it's very different. You never have this type of situation ever. You may at some points in the summer, but a large part of that is the player focusing on his off-season training and so on and so forth. Now, they don't really have access to those types of facilities, so their brain is still sort of attuned and getting ready for a return to play at some point. So I think that Sheldon and the staff have done a great job on that end of it, just in terms of keeping the players engaged while also not overwhelming them and showing that, you know, we obviously value what their thoughts are, and we want to take what they think about their game and sort of sharpen any contrast that we see with regards to disagreement with where they think they're at and where we think they're at, and be able to build a strong case to arm them with information and video to move ahead. And so that for me has been a really encouraging part of this. And as it pertains to Sheldon, you know, he's never had a training camp to really build with the way that he wants the team to play. He had one morning skate and then coached his first game in Arizona. So for me, and I think for our organization, it's exciting to know that whenever we get back and rolling, it's going to present Sheldon the chance to really, I think, institute the foundation that we're going to want here, and that he's, you know, so capable of providing, that can lead us deep into the future.
With Kyle Dubas, one question that continues to get directed towards us from a lot of fans is the implications that this stoppage in play and potentially cancellation of the season. I know we're not there yet, and Gary Bettman has not given any announcement on that, but the effect it'll have on the draft, where you have a draft pick that is protected in the Marlowe deal. If you guys are in the top 10, you keep it this year. If you're not in the top 10, it belongs to Carolina this year. Any update on that? Do you know where that might be going, or anything you can tell us?
No, I don't. From my understanding of it, and I think the league has done a great job of communicating the fact that, you know, they're very optimistic that at some point we'll be able to finish the season. And I think they've obviously stressed the safety and importance of everybody doing their part right now to stay at home and protect our communities and protect the people on the front lines that are out there battling to slow and stop the spread of this virus. But the one thing that I think I don't know what will happen precisely, but I think it's tough to imagine, because there's so many picks that are tied up with conditions on playoff qualification and playoff advancement. I think we have two of our picks this year that are conditioned on those. The Marlowe Carolina trade from last year, which, as you said, is top 10 protected, but then also the Campbell Clifford deal. It's one of the conditions is if we make the playoffs and Campbell wins a certain number of games, it goes from a third to a second. So it would be, I think there's a number of trades that are like that are contingent on games played and playoff advancement, that it could be tough to really create a solution for the draft until the season was completed one way or another.
Kyle, apparently you like to hand out books to people. How do you go about picking the book or picking the guy or figuring out what book matches what personality? How do you go about that?
Usually I just, I try to spend as much time as I can reading, because I find that it's a great way for me to learn and sort of reflect on different experiences that I've had where I don't think I've done as well as I could have on different things or let people or organizations down. And reading is a great way to try to educate on different things. And if I'm reading a book and there's whether it's the full book or a section of a book that I think applies to one of our players or one of our staff that I think can help them, I try to pass those along to them. And if they read them and they learn something from it, or they take something from it, then that's great. So that's sort of how it usually plays out. There's some that I think apply to the whole group and where we're at, and we'll mostly give those out at the beginning of the year or at Christmas time or at the end of the season. But there's a lot of times during the year if I'm reading and I think there's something that applies to one of our players or staff in particular and what they're going through or what they've gone through in their life or career to date, I'll usually quickly get them the book and explain why.
Do you have a book for the three of us that we could read? not me, the three of us. There's a reason I included the three of us.
A book that Brian and Jamie can read to you, is that what you're asking?
That is not what I'm asking. I said the three of us.
Oh, man.
About that and you get back to us.
Yeah, we could use the enlightenment. Believe me, we need some help here. So if you have any way of helping us, we'll wait. We'll wait for your advice, Kyle.
No worries. I'll think about it when I hang up, and then I will. I'll send you over exactly what my thoughts are.
All right. We look forward to it. Stay safe. Stay healthy. And we'll do this again soon. Yeah, and stay
perfect.
Active. That's our new catchphrase. Stay active, Kyle. Thank you for this.
Thanks, guys. Have a great night.
There's Kyle Dubas. Yeah, he's got an idea, but he didn't want to say it on the air. I'll bet you he's got a book in mind.
Well, the Curious George book.
Sure. I love how I'm just a laughing stock of it. He's just like, oh, yeah, they read you a book.
The coloring book was on a tee for him.
Yeah, right away he was going to be like, Curious George goes on the bus or something. Yeah. Right away, that's what was coming. But he was very diplomatic about it.
He was, and we'll hold him to that. Listen, we're looking for knowledge. We're looking for enlightenment. Any way
there
you
was
can help
there
us,
was
take
some
it.
Thinking behind that. There was the three of us included. There was not just me.
I figured. Yeah.
Yes,
so if he gets back to us, and we expect that he will, we'll let everyone know.
We should have a poll. What kind of books should each one of us get?
No, it's got to be the three of us, because he's just going to rip me and have some stupid book from Oprah to lose weight or some crap
no,
like that.
No, it's not.
Yeah,
it's not going to be a weight loss book.
I hadn't thought of that. Yeah, the
Oprah weight loss.
That was available to him, too. If he threw that fastball down the plate.
Then we hang up on him.
Yeah, that's unacceptable. We can't accept that type of
behavior. He wouldn't have done that. No.